Good afternoon, everyone. This is part of the PhD research of Chris Graham, who was not able to attend, so I'm doing the presentation in his place. So the idea here is, and it fits kind of well with the previous presentation, is to look at both temporal processes, mostly weather-related, as well as spatial processes, mostly soil variability, in terms of improving the precision of nitrogen management. The other co-authors are Jeff Melkonian, who works with me at Cornell, and David Laird, who's now at Iowa State, but at the time worked with the ARS unit, then the Tills Lab, and then it became the Lab for Agriculture and Environment. But he's now at Iowa State. So just a little bit of background, again, on the maize problem. Most of you, maize nitrogen problem, most of you are familiar with that. We still are struggling with very low end-use efficiency, 30 to 40% typical data, high energy consumption, as you know, part of the manufacture of nitrogen. What I think is interesting is the environmental impacts. Just two reports came out in the past few months, one the EPA report on greenhouse gas emissions that showed that nitrous oxide emissions and the global warming potential of that are really much higher than initially anticipated, certainly much higher than the IPCC estimates. And a lot of the concerns are associated with corn production. Also, the Geological Survey just recently came out with a report on their NACWA data set, about 20 years of water quality monitoring, both in terms of groundwater and in terms of surface waters, and of course the concerns about hypoxia. Basically, the upshot being we haven't made any progress in the past 20 years. And in fact, if there's any trend, it's in the wrong direction. This map here is from a recent article out of Science that shows that there's well over 300 locations around the world where hypoxia in estuaries is a concern. Now, another point that's relevant here is that that finding the right rate of nitrogen application is very important in terms of reducing the environmental losses. So this is a graph from the review article by Cliff Snyder and colleagues that shows nitrous oxide losses as a function of N application. And basically, the idea here is that once you go well past the crop uptake, you're seeing a fairly significant increase in nitrous oxide losses. And similarly, this is from some data that from some work that we did in the 1990s. Similarly, this is for nitrate leaching. Once you satisfy crop demand, you have excess in the system, and you're starting to see a lot of environmental losses. Now, there's a number of approaches on actually estimating the optimum N rate. The one that's most widely applied is the mass balance approach. The other one is the maximum return to N approach, which has been adopted in most of the Corn Belt state. But the basic idea is that you calculate a fertilizer rate based on a yield goal and the soil supply, and then you apply some kind of an efficiency factor. The problem with this is that, especially in humid regions, that the correlation between yield goal and optimum N rate is very poor. If you want to see a perfect scatter diagram, that's typically what you see. Doesn't mean that there isn't an inherent relationship, it's just that there are a lot of other processes that affect N availability and crop N needs. And even Stanford, who came up with the concept, basically recognized that there's a lot more dynamic processes involved. So that got us to work on the Adapt N tool, which is basically a model that simulates soil and crop processes and uses high-resolution climate data, basically early season weather, and then incorporating that in terms of improving N recommendations. Individual users can change model scenarios and driving variables, and it's quite interactive. It's a web-based tool. It's kind of a cloud computing kind of application where you don't need any software. Everything is done on servers. You can even do that while you're standing in a cornfield, as one of our collaborators is doing here. So I'm not going to talk anymore about AdaptN. There will be a session on adaptive N management on Wednesday morning if you're interested. In this particular case, we wanted to take that to the next level and look both at temporal processes, which are primarily guided by weather and spatial processes, which are spatial variability of soils. So to have basically an adaptive variable rate and scenario. So we used our model, precision nitrogen management model that we developed at Cornell. Then we used soil and climate data. We had a vehicle-mounted near-infrared spectroradiometer that I'll discuss in a little bit more detail. We used the SIRGO, soil survey information, and then we used weather information and a geographic information system for all the data process. This was kind of a proof of concept study more than anything else. So the location was in northeast Iowa. You might ask why are Cornell people doing work in Iowa, but it's because our collaborators had done this the field work in Iowa. Relatively small field, only 11 hectares, but still six or seven distinct soil series. And so from that field, we used the various technologies, near-infrared spectro, that's not photometer, radiometer, that's an error. And with that, you can make reasonable estimates of texture, but also soil organic carbon content, which is what we're interested in, because that influences the mineralization of nitrogen. And this is basically work that David Laird had done. So from that, we basically had over 1,300 estimates of organic carbon, which we then aggregated through block kriging into 136 30 by 30 meter management units, you might call that. And here you can see the map of the distribution of soil organic carbon. So actually quite a bit of variability within that field if you look at these numbers from about 1 to 3.5%. So how do we estimate the N rate? Well, we still use the mass balance approach, but it's a dynamic mass balance approach. So the N recommendation is based on the assumed N uptake, which is based on the yield goal, this 21.4 or 1.2 in English units factor. And then these two factors are basically indicate the mineralization of nitrogen. The first part is the mineralization that occurs prior to site dressing, and for the simulation study we used June 15th. Okay, so that is actually, so imagine that we're trying to determine a site dress N rate and we want to do that on June 15th. Okay, so, and that's been heavily impacted by soil type, by weather, etc. The post June 15th, so this is the mineralization that will occur in the latter part of the season, which you cannot really manage for post site dress unless you do a rescue application. So that is primarily based on differences in soil type and organic carbon content. Okay, not weather, because that's not predictable. And then we have basically a price ratio correction, basically an economic correction, that the difference between the maximum yield and the economic yield. So in order to do that, for this particular proof of concept study, we did 24 years of simulations of 24 years of climate data, and we had a certain scenario of basically nitrogen applied at planting plus then at a site dress rate. So now let's look at these different components then of the mass balance equation. So N uptake, we allowed that to vary throughout the field, basically based on differences in soil type and organic carbon content. And there was a range of about 155 to 223 kilograms per hectare in terms of the mean N uptake, which responds to yield ranges here. So mostly related to things like organic matter content and soil type differences. Okay, so that's the first part of the equation. Then the next component is the amount of N that's available from mineralization up till the late spring, up till June 15th in our model scenario. So that's highly influenced by spatial processes like soil variability, but also by weather in each of those cases. So we had 24 years, and we basically selected the 10th percentile and the 90th percentile of early season precipitation. So consider this to be a wet spring, and then this is a dry spring. Okay, and this is the amount of mineralization that occurred in those two scenarios, okay, and the spatial distribution. So there's an interaction between weather and soil variability. The next component is then the amount of N that might be mineralized during the second half of the season, which is, in this particular case, it's just an average value, because you don't know, when you site dress, you don't know how that, you know, whether you're going to have a lot of rain or not during the second part of the season. Okay, and that's a range of about 20 to 42 kilograms per hectare, mostly reflecting organic carbon content. Then we did a price ratio correction, as I mentioned. So this basically allows for an incorporation of an economic component. If the relative cost of fertilizer is high relative to the price of grain, then you would have to ratchet down the fertilizer rate a little bit. We did that by basically simulating yield response to all these different N rates, and then looking at the maximum yield and looking at the economic optimum yield. And in most cases, for these soil types, it basically came down that you can subtract a fixed number. In the case of a price ratio of 5.6, and that's the 0.1 in English units, you subtract about 17 kilograms per hectare and about 30 kilograms per hectare in the case of the 11.2 price ratio, which is equivalent to the 0.2 in English units. So that's, this latter scenario means that the fertilizer price is relatively more expensive. Okay, and that's basically, this is some of the results here that show the yield response, and then we looked at the maximum yield site dress rate and then the price ratio site dress rates for different soil types. Okay, so that's how we derived that. But because the data came out fairly consistently, it made it easy for us to simply have a fixed number, 17 or 30, that you could subtract. So now we basically have all the components of the mass balance equation, and we developed for each 30 by 30 meter area an N site dress recommendation for each of the 24 years. They range from about 90 in those, the 90th percentile year, which is a relatively dry spring at the 11.2 price ratio, to a high of about 160 in a wet spring at the lower price ratio, just to give you a sense of the range. So here's the distributions. This is the 5.6 or 0.1 price ratio, wet spring, and this is the higher price ratio. Just to give you a sense of the numbers here, 134 to 160, 117 to, I can't read that, 143, right? Okay, and then this would be then the 90th percentile or a dry spring for those two ratios. Okay, so that's that sort of gave us an idea of what level of variability one might expect and what gains are possible when you incorporate these temporal processes like weather and the spatial processes, which is soil variability. So in conclusion then, soil variability, management practices, and whether are important spatial and temporal factors affecting N dynamics for corn production in humid regions where the weather is more important. And they interact as well. That's an important component. You know, you can't quite separate them. And so by incorporating those two, we believe that we can, you know, using kind of a deterministic and stochastic approaches, we can potentially increase the precision in N management. And we regarded this as a proof of concept study, sort of what's the potential out there. We got some funding now to start implementing this on fields and to really test this. With that, thank you very much for your attention.